Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Kicking it hard with another edition of our pre-Thanksgiving wine tasting. It's going to be a juicilicious experience, as Mike Edison. Judy McGuire still out on assignment. Whatever the fuck that actually means. I always figured, you know, on 60 Minutes, it was like Mike Wallace is on assignment. I always figured he was a little too hungover to make it into work that day. Judy, come back. We miss you. But I'm here with a stellar cast of tipplers. And superstar sommelier, or former sommelier, but one of my favorite wine men and one of the best guys in the business, our good friend Jean-Luc Ledoux. Welcome back, buddy.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
Oh, look. Thank you for having me again.
You've been here, I don't know, three or four times. You're in the VIP circle.
I think it's been the first time today.
Well, that's because you always bring delicious grape juice for us us to drink, so that makes you very popular in these parts. But we're also joined by our friends from the Flesh Tones, Pete Zaremba and Keith Strang. What's up, guys?
Hello.
To see you.
You guys are
back, practically veterans of the show.
And
my partner in crime, the great Lin Von Pang, who handles the warbling, the leather lungs of the Garden State Social
Hello.
Club.
What's Happy up, Lin? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. And I know you like to tipple a little bit on Sunday, Lin.
I like grape.
Yeah. So everybody just get right up on those microphones, and we'll start tasting in a second. I'm still finishing my breakfast cocktail here at Roberta's. This is a Time Bandit. It's bourbon and Amaro with a sprig of thyme. I'm telling you, it's working.
You know, I tried to get that at the back bar, but I had to get a hot toddy.
I had to get a hot toddy. Hot toddy, good for...
cleansing.
Cleansing. Not quite detoxing it, but cleansing. Yesterday... I played my guitar for the ninth year in a row over at Ledoux's Wines, Jean-Luc's beautiful body bottle shop. And, man, I got so drunk as usual. I was by you left, I was when I, before I started doing House of the Rising Sun, which is amazing because I didn't know how to play it when I started. We really, really worked through like a good... I mean, it was a wine tasting, but I worked my way through a nice bottle of rye.
No, rye works wonders.
Some pretty amazing things were coming out of my mouth after I drank that bottle of rye. But we drank some great wine, and one of them... we're going to start with the cider, right? But
today we're starting not with grape juice, we're starting with apple juice. Fermented apple juice made into cider from Brittany.
Brittany, where you're from, up there.
Where
the best Calvados comes from. So
That's Normandy, my friend.
Normandy.
Oh,
man. Okay, I got taken to school right there. well, why don't you tell us what's in the bottle? Let's try some. And this is very typical autumn kind of thing here as we're rolling into the
Well, I think
day.
It's a great autumn drink. And I think it's a great way to start a Thanksgiving meal. You know, it's something sparkling, it's fruity, it's a little sweet.
So, Jean-Luc, you're saying that you would use this as an aperitif maybe earlier?
I'd use it, yeah. That's how I use it at home as an aperitif.
Ah, okay.
And I think this time of year is perfect. It's apple season.
With the cheese ball for the turkey.
You just made a great comment. You know, another great pairing for cider is cheese. People
yes.
never think about pairing with cheese, but it works really great. So let me just pour you some, see if you like it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And,
I love fromage, Jean-Luc.
You love fromage?
Oui. Oui. Well, cider is just not for breakfast anymore, apparently.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
You know, really, you can also have it under the shower.
Oh, it's the, you know, cider in the shower.
I like to do that.
I do. Well, I like to drink beer in the shower, as is well known. And I'm posting some really good fourth quarter numbers because the weather has been so temperate. We're doing very well with the beer and shower numbers.
They are pushing cider very heavily in this country, and is now the largest growing type of alcoholic beverage in the United States.
Largest category. Yeah.
There you go. Largest category.
Well, for years, and we've seen it on taps and, like, you know, even, you know, the sports bars and everything, like Woodpecker, whatever they call that crap, that very sweet cider that I really can't drink because it's like soda pop. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling this is going to be a different experience.
We have this in the traditional Breton verre. For the
dans un bol,
yeah.
Usually serve this in a bowl, like in a earthenware bowl.
Oh, okay, yes, the earthenware.
But today we have the finest.
This is nice.
Well, today was the finest crystal money can buy.
This crystal says this stemware is lovely for everybody out in Radio Land trying to picture these this circle of champions here. Well, cheers.
Salute.
There you go. Salute, everybody. Chin, Sante.
It's a golden hue. It's very beautiful. People describe it for you.
Oh, this is delicious. This is very nice.
It's one of my favorite cider.
It does have a note of sweetness to it, but it's not like soda pop at all. It's this is really nice.
But it's also earthy, it keeps
sort of grassy at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So tell us again what we're drinking, and it really does have an orange hue to it. It's fantastic.
This is a cider made by Manoir du Quinquis. This is a small estate in central Brittany near a town called Quimper. I've been visited this producer since the mid 90s, and it's only since last year that it's imported in this country. It's really traditional cider. It's just double pressing of the apple and in a wooden press, and it's got that earthiness but also a certain sweetness to it. Very light, very easy to enjoy.
How do you describe this finish? This is a different kind of a.
Oh, that's the earthiness maybe earthy coming through, the grassiness that I'm saying.
But also it finished bone dry. You see how it almost like dries your palate?
This is good. I could drink this all day and like not be too fucked up to actually, you know, start drinking heavily when the turkey shows up.
It takes a lot of this to get you.
This would be a good beverage to sip in the hot kitchen while you're preparing the holiday.
Yeah. Yermat.
Yermat. Oh my god!
God!
I just know that you are
polyglot flesh tongues.
That's not French. It's Breton.
See,
that's the
Chuchem
brothers.
I know the Chuchem. We know the shout out to our friends of the Digit Fanzine, right?
You got it.
That's them.
Mm-hmm. What is Shushan?
It's
what is Shushan actually?
It's poison.
It's like
French moonshine.
Yeah, it's moonshine, right? It's
no, Shushan is
more like ripple.
It's a honey. You know, it's a honey alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's fermented honey alcohol. It's like the new version of hydromel, which was what the Gauls drank. Back in the middle,
the Gauls,
Shushan,
that's not like shoe polish. That's what we used to call Old English. Yeah. No relation.
It's a Shushan is what is it? What does it translate as? Because I know it sounds like the Shushan brothers, who are friends who had a band named after their favorite liquor, which seems to be a tradition in punk rock.
Yeah,
naming bands after cough syrup or liquor.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Shushan, it's a little translation. Shushan,
it's a literal translation of headbanger.
Well, that's good. Well, this is good, you know, and as it is, like, Thanksgiving really is a contest to see who can stay sober long enough to get to the dinner table. I mean, that really is part of the thing, right? You start early, and you know, by 4:30, everybody's unconscious. I see there's a bottle of Beaujolais sitting here, Jean-Luc. The Beaujolais Nouveau, in fact, which we've had, you know, not the nicest things to say about the Nouveau over the years, but here you are, once again defying expectations. Tell us about
this. I finally found one. It's been tough. You know, Beaujolais Nouveau has a terrible reputation, and so should it, because of the millions of liters of that wine that are not very good that are produced every year.
I guess it's more of a marketing ploy.
It's more of a marketing ploy
to get people to buy the new Beaujolais, regardless if it's really out.
Well, you know, the tradition of Beaujolais Nouveau was in the town of Lyon, that was the first wine that would be available for all the bistros. So they loved having a fresh wine to serve by the glass, so that's when they did this. Not through marketing, it became a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I've actually never bought one for my shop, and it's the first time this year that we got one.
I know. I'm amazed that you have one with you, actually. This is interesting.
This is a great man of mystery here.
So we'll see.
With this gives it. We can pass judgment on this year of wine a bit, right? It'll give us a window into seeing.
Gives you a window, yes.
What it could be.
maybe. Well, it gives you an idea if the vintage is good or not, but just for that particular place, because it's so varied from one place to the other.
I do recall some years like saying, oh, the Beaujolais, the Nouveau was very good this year, as opposed to other years where it just sort of takes, like, you know, kind of rank grape juice. But even, like, the very commercial stuff, like... You know the stuff I'm talking about that you see in like every liquor store that has brightly colored posters. But my problem, I love Beaujolais and I love the grape. I love the region. You know, I know you do too, Jean-Luc.
Probably is the most gorgeous wine region in France. One of them. I urge people to visit this area.
All right, a little bit of the Nouveau here.
All right. À votre santé.
Chin chin. Salut.
La même.
Cheers. Young, fresh, supple.
Bill Cosby.
Easy to drink.
Oh.
You know. This went to a whole new level.
Yeah, we're getting there. Everybody drink up. We'll get there.
That's why he has me.
Arts and seizures. Arts and seizures. We go there.
I had a sip of over here.
Well, I think this is a good breakfast wine.
A good breakfast.
There you go. After the shower.
Yeah. After my beer or the shower, I think a little Beaujolais, just as I'm, you know, sort of getting dressed.
Seriously, this is the kind of thing you want to drink with the turkey dinner, with the, you know, the buttery, you know, heavier meal. This kind of
and you can enjoy this all day long. It's light, it's fruity, it's, you know, it's just still a little bit of a spritz, you know, in the mouth when you taste it. It's a joyous wine. Yeah. You know, this, you take it, you know, you give it a slight chill, leave it outside for half an hour before you serve it. Mm. And it's just pleasure in a glass.
Mm. Pleasure in a glass.
Winey joy.
That sounds like a song title.
It's definitely a building block to things to come in a day.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. It's a stout of wine, you know. It's not...
Jeebus juice. That was a Michael Jackson thing. I guess he's been... Bill Cosby's in, Michael Jackson is out.
but what are you talking about anyway?
The Jesus juice, you know, because he used to, you know, right, you know, get his victims, you know, a little high on wine. Yeah, boy, our pop culture economy really is collapsing before our eyes.
Well, look at Cosby, like it's a Jesus juice in the pill form.
Yeah, jeez Louise. You know, over the years, Jean-Luc, I think it's very nice. I'm pretty traditional. I usually go light to bigger across the day. Start with this with the cheese or the appetizers. Mm. You know, something to pick on and drink this like while I'm cooking. And then when the turkey comes out, it's like bring out the big guns. And I know over the years, I know you didn't do this other Italian wine, but Dolomites. But over the years, we've talked about Zinfandel a lot, and you were a big proponent of that. So I wanted to not as much this year. Not still pushing the Zin for the Zinsgiving.
I love Zinfandel, but I can only bring 3 bottles, my friend. So we need to change a little bit. You know, Zinfandel is the great American wine. You know, and
yeah, I was going to say it's California. Or
yeah, but it's. It's not originally a grape from the U.S. It comes from Europe, but California has made it its own, and it makes great wines. And you also, one of the great things about Zinfandel is people lost interest in it about a century ago. So you have
father's girlfriend.
Not your father's girlfriend. Well, so you have all those vineyards that were kept in the wild for almost a century, and... So you have like a lot of vineyards at 80, 90, 100 years old.
What does that mean then? You have these vineyards with all this old vines, vineyards.
They produce less, so the quality of the fruit is better, the roots go deeper, so they have better access to water. Hmm. But it makes, old vines make for
old
better
vines,
wine.
Right.
So you have a lot of old Zinfandel vineyard in California.
Interesting.
Zinfandel, I think, has suffered a kind of a marketing problem because people think of Zinfandel and they think of white Zinfandel. They think of like Blush and some of these sweeter wines and just not the robust, really alcoholic, strong, like, you know, gigantic Zinfandels that we were drinking over the last couple of years.
Well, white Zinfandel was an accident during winemaking many years ago, and somebody pressed Zinfandel grapes and didn't leave the skin in contact, so it made a wine that was slightly pinkish, that was very sweet, because Zinfandel tends to be robust and have a lot of alcohol. And I guess that was a thing. I'm sorry, but I don't think I've ever had a glass of white Zinfandel.
That's good. That's good that you haven't. Orange wands. Have you seen orange wands? Speaking of skin contact, it's kind of a trendy thing, right?
It's kind of a trendy thing. Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that before we get... We're going to take a break before we get to the next big wine. But let's talk about orange wands for a second.
Orange
wands. Have you heard of
orange
wands?
I'm not sure.
Like from Jersey?
Yeah, it's like a bottle of Tango in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Orange is the new white.
Yeah. You know,
No, orange wine is basically a process when you're making white wines and you leave the skins in contact with the fermenting juice for a few days. So the wine gets like a slight orange color to it. And then usually the wines are bottled unfined and unfiltered.
Is this like a method carbonique or something? Or
no,
it's not.
We're having now is made with methyl carbonique. So it's carbonic maceration.
But isn't that with the skins also being left to?
Yeah, but the carbonic maceration, the skin, the grapes are not trampled.
Okay.
They're whole berries.
Okay. Mike's got his notebook out.
These flesh ones are some very worldly cats.
Now I understand the difference.
No, if you press, then it's not maceration carbonique anymore.
Yeah.
So.
But orange is beyond rosé, because rosé is a similar in the maceration, the skin contact, to get some rosé.
Yeah, but there's also an oxidative process going on when you're making orange wine.
So is it like a sherry character?
Slight.
It's like
not always.
Chalon, so it's sort of a.
That's a different process altogether.
Yeah, but that still has an oxidation.
That's still an oxidation, and the yellow wine's
oxidation.
Well, we're good.
But now that you mentioned, I think I'm gonna go out and get a bottle of sherry. Maybe a nice dry sherry.
Yes, order one.
A nice Montanillo or Jerez.
Nice.
You know, which has
a great for appetizer.
I love that. You know, I mean, having lived in Spain all those years, I have a real taste for very dry Jerez. But I think it's not. Do you sell any Jerez over at the shop?
We do. Maybe I'll bring one next year.
Yeah, because I've never seen it at anyone's house. I come over to someone's house for cocktails. No one ever. I still think it's the long hangover of dry sack and Dandy Don Meredith and those advertisements he's doing in the 70s for the dry sack, because that's it's like dry sack was next to the Matus and the Lancers on my parents' shelf.
Do
you remember those?
I remember those.
The last Matus bottle I saw, I made a bong out of it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some big wine, listen to Arts and Seizures here, live from Roberta's on the Heritage Radio Station. We got the Rock Delegation coming up. Pizza Rumba, tell us what we're going to hear.
Oh, this is a new record that came out on Closer Records in France. It's the Rock Delegation playing with Rob Sweeney and my friends up in Canada. And this song, I think, is called I Can Do This.
All right.
I can.
Give it a twirl.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network.
We're also super awesome.
Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew WK. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
All right, we're back. And thanks to Andrew WK for that awesome station check right there. It's Arts and Seizures here on the Heritage Radio Network, live from Roberta's. And we're still working our way through the Beaujolais Nouveau. Everybody seems very happy. Some very happy kids here. Jean-Luc Ledoux and Pete and Keith from the Fleshtones and our friend Lynn Von Pang. How's the pizza, Lynn?
Delicious.
I find it makes the wine taste good.
I'm having this very light one.
I went simple today with the pizza order. That's the pizza rosso, which is, as it sounds, it's just red. There's no cheese on it, just garlic and the beautiful sauce. It's
vegan friendly.
It's vegan friendly, but it's perfection. Mm. It's true. When our vegan friends come here, that's what we serve them. But I think it's perfection. I mean, there's a lot of craziness here at Roberta's, obviously, on the pizza menu. But to me, keep it simple, stupid is really the way to go. And we have another margarita. So everybody have a piece of pizza, and we're going to get into another bottle of wine. I guess we should finish the Beaujolais first.
Pizza party.
And Liz in the booth now, she's tippling the Beaujolais. How's that working out for you in there, Liz?
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, all right. And Lynn, here's some more. Yeah. Help yourself, Lynn. Finish off that. Wow. All right. So during the break, we were listening to that awesome bit of rock and roll.
Brand
spanking new, and you were telling us some of the background story there for our friends in Oshawa.
Right. This is recorded at Quest Studios in Oshawa, where they recorded pretty much every Anvil album. So that's the Oshawa sound.
You're putting them on the map.
Anvil put them on the map.
I'm
just trying to get in the backdraft there. They get sucked along, with the get a little fame here.
I think we're doing pretty good. All right, I'm gonna have a piece of pizza and finish this Beaujolais.
Yeah.
Grab in here. All right. So what are you all doing for Thanksgiving? Who's got the crazy Thanksgiving plans?
I'm having a rock and roll Thanksgiving weekend starting Wednesday night. Mm. I am performing. I'm playing at the Grand Victory. Do you know this, Mike?
I do know this with our other friend, Jean-Luc.
Well, our other French friend, Jean-Luc, is coming over with the New York Kleps, and I'm on that record, and we are performing at Williamsburg Wednesday night, the Grand Victory, and also my other group. I'm doing double duty that night. I'm playing with Split Squad.
All right. Going both directions.
Now are you playing at Don Pedro's tomorrow? On a Tuesday?
No, I'm not going to do that because it's my daughter's birthday.
See, Lynn, everybody's got the same problems as our band. my daughter's birthday.
I think I'm going to the Oyster Bar.
Very nice.
Well, that's fun.
Very nice.
Noisy, but it's fun.
But then also Friday and Saturday, Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going down to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to do some more shows with the New York Club. So it's my rock and roll Thanksgiving.
Sounds good. Jean-Luc, he was, I think we were like his first clients, the Ronchans.
Maybe.
We were right there when he got into the business. I'm hoping I'm going to see you guys this week. I got myself a Heritage turkey right from our sponsors, Heritage Food.
I got to get my turkey tomorrow.
And Lynn's rolling her eyes because she says no fucking way is a turkey worth $8 a pound. But
I felt like a world-class jackass buying a $100 turkey.
You heard it here. Arts and Seizures will insult our sponsors.
Yeah,
that's
you guys ought to come to the show.
I would like to.
You should come down and play harmonica.
I'm coming.
So you're actually going to cook a turkey?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year I cooked a duck. I mean, seriously, it was a smaller group of people, but we have a handful of people. I'm going to do a real turkey, like I said, from our friends at Heritage Food, farm-raised, pasture-raised. That turkey was treated better than most rock musicians ever will be.
They should have sent that turkey to finishing school in France with that price tag.
Speaking of turkey, Jean-Luc, we got one more big wine here.
Let's get this down.
Everybody, tip the Beaujolais.
It's a quick half hour. Down. Cousin.
Oh, man. That Beaujolais is a fast Cusack? Drinking wine.
Cusack.
Wait,
Cusack. It's like the fucking LA. Model UN in here. All right, what's next? We got the Rudy Ray Moore wine.
We got the Rudy Ray Moore wine.
Well, all right. Our favorite.
Maybe we want to go there.
Yeah. Avenging Disco Godfather. Tell us what's happening.
So listen, I have to be honest with you. I screwed up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I screwed up big time, huh? But I think you're going to be happy with the screw-up.
Okay.
So I meant to bring a wine, a Terroir d'Ego from one of my favorite producers in the Dolomite called Foradori. And I meant to bring, entry-level, more pedestrian wine. And I grabbed, the Grand Achievement, which is, I think, one of the best wine in Europe, which is called Granato.
Oh,
so it's
still
made by it was a great Terroir d'Ego, but now we're going to have the wine that's like,
basically, if we're playing Monopoly, this would be bank error in your favor.
That's bank error in your favor.
All right,
so,
well. Well, lay it on us. And
so this is still produced in the Dolomites or somewhere
It's still in the Dolomites.
So the Rudy Ray Moore joke is still good.
Rudy Ray Moore joke still applies. Yeah.
So, Jean-Luc, while you're pouring this wine, do you decant all these wines at your table at home before you serve them?
This I would definitely decant for at least a good hour and a half, 2 hours.
Wow.
I have the wine to my mouth.
Merci.
All right. I've been actually just like, decanting like everything in my house these days, even like, you know, much, you know, more inexpensive wines, and I find it makes a really big difference. Even, you know, I've been drinking a lot of like kind of what I would call well-priced, but someone who isn't Jewish would call cheap bottles of Bordeaux, under $20 price point, mostly Merlot, a little Merlot Cab, but I've been decanting them and they've been just, it absolutely improved the quality, just even at that level of wine I'm finding.
Decanting is like one of the most easy thing to do and important thing to do. You can buy an inexpensive decanter for $20. You pour your wine for half an hour or an hour before you drink it, and it really opens up the flavors. And it's so simple.
Yeah,
and also on that subject, you can also decant white wines.
Okay, that's something,
and that really makes a difference.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, if a wine has been in a bottle for a number of years without any air, it wants to expand.
Yeah, I got that.
Wine is a living thing, you know. I mean, wine is an organic thing. Is this biodynamic wine, by the way?
This is about? Yes. This is a wine that's biodynamic. It's a philosophy of grape growing and winemaking, mostly of grape growing. It's organic. There is absolutely no pesticides, no herbicides. Plus, it uses a system of using the lunar calendar to plant, to treat the vineyards. So every facet of the work in the vineyard is done according to a lunar calendar.
I'm eating pizza. Well, this wine is dynamite. Holy cow! What do you guys think?
It's a party in your mouth.
Let's get some notes from the flesh tones. What are your tasting notes over there? Liz, you want to come in, grab a glass of this too? Part of this party?
As Lily Pulitzer used to say, life is a party. Let's start now.
Here, grab a glass and grab the bottle. Liz, here you are in Studio A here at the Heritage Radio compound. So while we're enjoying this, Jean-Luc, tell us where your bottle shop is, the fabulous Ledoux's Wines, and where we can find this stuff, and give us an idea like what kind of price range we're talking about too.
Okay,
wines.
So the cider is around $15 a bottle. The Beaujolais Nouveau is also around $15 a bottle. The wine that I wanted to bring was around $28 a bottle. This one we're drinking is actually closer to $70.
It's how much?
70.
Wow. Yeah, let me ask you this. What kind of grape is that?
Tirol d'Ego, which is a local grape that's grown over there.
Is it just one variety, then? It's not a mix?
It's not a blend. It's 100% Tirol d'Ego.
I don't know that.
Is that like a Tyrolean grape or something? Yeah. I don't know.
It's local to the Dolomites.
Okay.
Mm. And the Dolomites, what are they like? What's the limestone?
It's a range of mountains. I know
they're
a lot
they're
of
sharp,
granite.
Very sharp granite. Okay. Very sharp.
Yes, it was a very sharp.
Cortina d'Ampezzo is not too far. But
it's like hanging out with Jeopardy champs on this show on Arts and Seizure.
Well, we played there, so
with Rudy Ray Moore, I'm sure.
The Dolomite show.
It's out.
All right. As always, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today.
That's a half an hour?
Too fast.
Unbelievable. So, but we're going to hang out and drink some wine. But before we go, Keith Strang, please tell us again where you're playing with the New York Clips and where we can see you this week.
Right. This Wednesday, night before Thanksgiving, Grand Victory, Williamsburg, Northside, the New York Clips, and my other group, the Split Squad. Fabulous show. Kick off your weekend. Come on down. Mike Edison, come. Bring your guitar. Peter Zaremba, bring your harmonica.
Where are the Fleshtones playing?
Oh, December 2nd in Torino.
Yeah,
please come.
Oh, I love Torino. What a great
good eating.
What a great Torino. Vibrant, good awesome city Torino is. And Jean-Luc, one more time, tell us where your bottle shop is, Ledoux's.
Ledoux's Wines is at 600 Washington Street in the West Village of New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Garden State Social Club, Lynn, our joint. What's happening? What's happening? Cheers.
Cheers.
are we playing? Or,
happy Thanksgiving,
we can get
everyone.
Six adult musicians in the same room at the same time. We'll be playing soon.
Yes.
I hope so.
All right, then, for Judy McGuire, who's not here, for Liz in the booth, for Jean-Luc, for Pete and Keith from the Flesh Tones, for Lynn Von Pang of the Garden State Social Club, and all our friends and all the ships at sea, Arts and Seizures, we'll see you next week. No, next week we're off for Thanksgiving. We'll see you the week after. Everybody enjoy their turkeys. All right.
Cheers.
Yay. Cheers. Cheers.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.